scripture. So our first scripture, Jeremiah 20, 7 through 9. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention God or speak any more in God's name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Our final scripture from Matthew 10:34-36. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Fourteen years before Rosa Parks made a similar stand, Bayard Rustin, who was an African-American man who would become an advisor to Martin Luther King Jr., Bayard was riding in a bus in the South. He came in and sat in the second seat and was asked by the bus driver to move to the back of the bus. Mr. Rustin started to comply, but then a little white boy grabbed his tie. The boy's mother was scandalized and harshly told her son not to touch a, and here she used the N-word. In a later interview, Rustin said that it hit him that if he quietly complied with the bus driver's order, that little boy would think that all the Black people that he knew would have no problem with riding in the back of the bus. Since that little boy never saw anyone oppose the practice, how was the boy supposed to know that such discrimination was wrong? And so for the sake of that little boy and for the sake of his own sense of self, Rustin refused to move. The refusal caused him to be beaten and arrested by the police. Mr. Rustin could have quietly complied with the racist demands of the bus driver. Most people quietly submitted. Such demands were part of the dominant culture of the South. It would have been so much easier just to go along and move to the back of the bus. But Mr. Rustin felt called to refuse and accepted the much more difficult path of confrontation and conflict. 14 years later, 15-year-old Claudette Colvin was arrested for refusing to give up her seat on a segregated bus in Montgomery, Alabama. 9 months after that, Rosa Parks made her famous refusal to move to the back of the bus. Unlike Mr. Rustin and Ms. Colvin, Rosa Parks knew that her action would ignite a movement in Montgomery. She was a member of the NAACP, and they were organized to bring nonviolent power to the issue. The world changes when people organize themselves, but change is sometimes ignited by those who take courageous personal actions. Let's face it, democracy is messy. Social change work is messy. Conflict is an inevitable part of changing the conditions that benefit some at the cost of others. Conflict in life can be avoided, but only if we choose not to stand for any. Jesus understood this. That's why in today's reading, he talks of conflict as being inevitable for those who choose to follow the path he was blazing. If you read today's passage out of context of the Gospels, you might think that Jesus is advocating violence. But since we know that Jesus calls on his followers to love even their enemies, we know that he's talking about something else. Jesus is not advocating for violent divisiveness. He's pointing out that living in the light of God's compassion and justice will sharply conflict with the dominant way of thinking and behaving. The dominant culture wants us to see love as only an emotion. But love is much more. It is the foundation of real power. It is the principle that can guide our actions. It is the foundation of faithful public policy. And love stands in opposition to all the various forms of injustice and oppression which bolster the systems which order our world. Love, then, is challenging for those who are happy with the way things are. Love's goals can be seen as intrusive and subversive by those with privileges in the current order. If you were a white person on that bus with Mr. Rustin, you might have seen his unwillingness to go along with the common practice of African Americans moving to the back of the bus as being an unwanted and pointless intrusion in your day. Undoubtedly, everyone on that bus had to wait while the police were summoned. Everyone had to witness the violence of Mr. Rustin's arrest. Not only were their schedules interfered with, but for everyone else on the bus, their notion of the rightness of the racism that ordered their world would have been brought out into the light of day and challenged. They could no longer kid themselves into thinking that all African Americans were fine with such practices. When we here at Keystone agreed to provide temporary shelter for homeless folks in the Nicholsville community several years ago, I went around and told all of our neighbors. Most of the neighbors were very supportive, but not all. Some blamed the presence of homeless people for anything that went wrong in the neighborhood. And they blamed us for bringing homeless people into the neighborhood. Had we not been prepared for it, this hostility might have been surprising and painful. But knowing that such hostility is not unusual helped us respond lovingly, but resolutely, to our detractors. In the reading today from Jeremiah, the prophet complains that he cannot keep silent about the problems in his world. If he tries to keep God's truth to himself, it's like he has a bad case of heartburn. And yet, when he does speak the truth, everyone around him, even his friends, become angry at him. It's easy enough for those of us who are privileged to ignore the holy heartburn of God's call to stand up for justice. Over time, we might not even notice that it's there. And then one day, we are struck by the words or actions of somebody like Jeremiah or Claudette Colvin, who refuse to be silent. And we feel the burn of God's loving truth within us. It's impossible to find If it is impossible to find others to act with, then standing up on our own is important. It can stir the conscience of others. But the power to make real change comes from using the power that comes from people organized to act strategically to achieve a targeted goal. Like it or not, to be called to follow the path of God's love is to be put into a position of disturbing the peace of unjust systems. Conflict goes with the work of faith. But conflict for us doesn't mean we have to stop loving those with whom we are in conflict. Even while we seek to undo unjust systems, our goal is never to destroy our enemies, but to lovingly convert them. It is the practices of greed, fear, and hate that we must seek to destroy, not the people who are seduced by those ideas. We may not be able to envision ourselves being beaten and arrested for what's right, but we may be able to see ourselves not remaining silent when someone says or does something that is racist or homophobic, or when our government fails to provide an equitable division of rights and resources to all. We may not be able to make a stand all by ourselves, but we might be able to join with others. We may not be able to organize a powerful action like the Montgomery bus boycott, but we might be able to call or write our elected officials and let them know where we stand on the issues of the day. Our faith may make us seem like aliens in our communities, in our places of work, and maybe even in our own families. In refusing to go along with the normal practices of our world, there will be conflict. But once we understand that conflict isn't something to be feared or avoided, but something to be managed lovingly, we'll find our way through. As people of faith, our unique contribution to the work of making the world a better place is sharing the values that come from believing in a loving God. The values of a community shape the direction that community chooses, and it affects the policies that community enacts. Whatever else we may work on, being as public as possible about the values we believe in is important. This is evangelism in the best sense. Right now, across our nation, people are stirring up fear and hate against those who are vulnerable. And more extreme groups and individuals are emboldened to act even more violently. For the sake of those who are being harmed, and for those who may think that such actions are normal, we cannot remain silent. Following Jesus is messy. It can cause divisions in congregations, communities, and even families. We may be hated, but we won't hate. Nor will we give in and stay silent when people are being harmed. The fact that no white person on that bus cared enough about justice to stand with Mr. Rustin is, to me, a sign of the failure of the churches of that community to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a church tries to avoid conflict, it ends up being little more than a country club. By showing up, standing up, and speaking out for those who are suffering and in opposition to the systems that promote that suffering, we participate in our true calling of spreading the good news of God's loving vision of what our world can be. Amen.